This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jay Willer is the Executive Vice President of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association, and he joins me live in studio. Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for being here. Brian Wheeler couldn't make it, so we are glad that you could come in his stead.
I won't even pretend I'm in his stead. He does a great job.
He is one smart cookie, isn't he?
Yes,
I mean,
he is.
He's one of those people in our community who actually goes to all those meetings.
Goes to all those meetings and reports them and covers them fairly. He does a great job. It's a great service to the community.
Yeah, it's terrific. And the website, the Charlottesville Tomorrow website, that's turning into a local C-SPAN. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that they have Sean Tubbs on board, I mean, the audio, the video that they're doing there, it really is a great resource.
I use it all the time.
Jay, let's start with, if we could, with just a Jay Willer 101. Where are you from, your background, how you ended up working with the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association? Then we'll talk about the association.
Okay. I've been with the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association for not quite a year. It seems like longer than that, but I started last June as the Government Affairs Director for the association. In March of this year, I became the Executive Vice President. Prior to that, I'd lived in Washington, D.C. for 25 years. My wife and I owned weekend property in Greene County for 10 years, and every weekend we'd come down and say, this is a really beautiful place to be. why are we going back to Washington on Sunday evening? We loved the city, but we finally said, let's make a big change in our lives, get out of the city, and move full-time to Greene County, rebuilt our house, and tried to decide what we'd do in the next act of our lives, and that's how I got to the Home Builders Association.
Are you from the D.C. area?
I grew up in northern Ohio. I've lived a bunch of places since then, but the part I grew up in Ohio was right along Lake Erie. My father's mother's family was the sixth family to settle in that county, so I understand some of the things that I hear folks here say about this land has been in my family for five generations. Strangely, my family never seemed to own any land in the process, but they were definitely pioneers there.
Jay Willer with the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. So what is the association? Give us a clear picture here what we mean when we say Blue Ridge Home Builders Association.
Blue Ridge Home Builders Association is a subset, the local organization of the Home Builders Association of Virginia and then the National Association of Home Builders. We cover five counties. We start at the north in Madison County, come down to Greene, do Albemarle, and then kind of flare out to Nelson and Flavanna counties. So we cover those five counties. Charlottesville, Albemarle is the physical heart and also obviously the business and political heart of that those five counties as well. We have about 300 members. We've been in existence since, I think recently I saw something that said 1960-something. Our home show last year was, I know, the 30th home show that this organization has put on.
Wow.
So we've been around at least that long.
And that's a major event that you sponsor each year, right?
Yeah. The biggest event we sponsor every year is the Parade of Homes in the fall. The home show is probably the second largest, and then we have a number of events for our members every month and then some other public events that maybe we'll talk about in a bit.
Sure.
We have 300 members approximately. About a third of them are actually builders. Some of just about every, you know, the major builders are all members. Smaller builders are as well. And the other two-thirds of our membership are kind of the support industry for the building community. Some of the realtors, the lenders, the mortgage companies, the closing companies, electrical suppliers, plumbing suppliers, lumber yards, all those folks whose businesses are largely tied to the home building industry are members of our organization as well.
Jay, give us an idea how big that part of the local economy is, because I know whenever we talk about it in here, I think it's the one thing that often goes unsaid, and I try to always remind myself there's a lot of people out there who make a living off of the fact that a home is being built. It's not just a developer. It's the tradespeople and the people who settle the loans. It reaches far tentacles there into our economy.
I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, but I actually brought some numbers along with me. These are U.S. Census Bureau figures based on just building permits. It's construction cost. Doesn't involve multipliers of how many jobs it creates and how many McDonald's hamburgers those employees buy, et cetera. This is just material and labor cost four homes. For Albemarle County alone, in all of 2006, the total reported value, again, it's just building costs, materials, labor, is $125 million into the local economy. If you add on the ripple effects, the multipliers that economists use, I don't understand, but it has a much larger impact than that. I don't know if there's any local industry that has $125 million impact on local businesses.
That's amazing. Jay, what is it? Jay Willer with the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. And folks, of course, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Jay, what is it that your members, the developers in particular, the builders, what is it you hear from them most often, the folks who are building in this community here?
A number of things. Most of our builders are local people or have been here for a long time. They maybe didn't grow up here, but they've come here for a variety of reasons, just as we all have. But they are as committed as anybody else is to this is a wonderful area, a physically beautiful area, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that those things continue. But those things continue with growth, and growth should be managed, should be watched, should be paid attention to, but growth will happen. No matter what we do, we want to have growth happen. The whole economy, the whole county should want growth to happen. The question is, how does it happen? Where does it happen? What are the factors that go into it? So I think all of our builders, all of our members love this county and want to live here for the rest of their lives, love this area. Not all of them are Albemarle County members. But they also are very concerned about a growing sentiment in the county, in the area, that says it's the builders' fault that growth is happening. Blame the builders, make the builders pay. They have lots of very strong feelings about that kind of public position.
And what is it that we're not hearing perhaps enough from them in response to that sentiment, which I agree with you, it is growing. I hear it all the time.
Well, I think there are two things. One is that that sentiment somehow assumes that growth happens because builders build houses. In fact, it's the opposite. Growth happens because jobs are created. If you look in the paper every day of how many new programs are being developed at the university, there are three local R&D parks that are adding jobs, growing businesses, wonderfully creative, wonderfully helpful things going on. The National Ground Intelligence Center is about to dramatically increase in size. Those are all the things that happen that bring people to this community because they have good jobs, because we have a strong economy. Once they get here, they want to have a place to live. And that's where the builders come in, saying, as we see all these things happen, we're going to build houses to meet that demand. Builders who build houses where there is no demand end up going bankrupt because they can't sell what they built.
Good point.
It's part of the, you know, just economics 101. So growth happens because people want to come here for jobs, for other things. They come to the university and they stay. And then we respond. So the first thing that lots of our members are concerned about, our organization is concerned about, is that constant drumbeat that growth happens because we build houses. It's not true. The other thing is that the constant drumbeat is that growth is out of control. How many times a day do we hear we're going to be Loudoun County, we're going to be Fairfax County? I heard somebody say we're going to be Manhattan Island. The plate tectonics of becoming Manhattan Island probably just don't happen. We're a little south of the Culpeper Shield, and you know, we can't support those buildings. The reality is you keep hearing that, and every time you hear it and nobody says anything differently, you come to believe it. Well, I heard that 40 times today. It must be true. The reality is we're not growing at rampant rates. Weldon Cooper Center at UVA, very well-known, very respectable organization, recently do projections between the census numbers. And they say that the growth in Albemarle County over the last 6 years is a little more than 1% a year. And about a third of that growth comes just from what Weldon Cooper calls natural growth, more babies being born than people dying off. If you take out that number, the actual growth of people moving into Albemarle County is less than 1% a year. That's not rampant growth. That's reasonable growth. That's a growth rate that stimulates the economy. But again, people don't hear that often enough.
Jay Wheeler is the Executive Vice President for the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Susan is on line one. Jay, I'm going to ask you to put on those headphones, if you would. Thank you, sir. And Susan, you're on with Jay Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Hello. I'm not really sure this is the question for him, but since he's in the home building industry, I'm going to ask it anyway.
Go right ahead, yeah.
Let's say you have a $200,000 lot, and you put a $500,000 house on it. What kind of guarantee can you get that you will get $700,000 for it when you sell it without actually going to God for this information?
Can you get any guarantee for this, Jay?
I can't imagine anybody would guarantee any number in a real estate market.
Well, I mean, outside of a builder or a real estate person, who would you talk to about that?
Well, I'd be careful who I talk to, because anybody who told you they could give you a guarantee is probably someone you should run away from fairly quickly. You know, markets are markets, and at the moment, the market, real estate market locally, is a little soft. The demand isn't quite as high. The inventory's higher than it has been. Still a wonderfully strong, healthy market.
And not as soft as many other markets in the country.
And not as soft as any other markets. Dave Phillips at the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors has a wonderful line about, we're down 17% from last year. This is our second best year in history. you know, being slightly off the peak of a very strong market from a builder's standpoint, from a real estate standpoint, is still a strong market.
Is there another point of view that's out there, though, besides the builder and the realtor, that would, you know, have a different point of view, or would have a more, maybe a more, slanted?
Jay, what about a mortgage lender?
Lenders look carefully at risk and numbers, and if I'm going to put my money down as a lender to give to you to buy this house at a certain interest rate, et cetera, I want to be sure that if for some reason, God forbid, you get sick, you lose your job, something,
right,
and you default on the house, I want to know that in a current market, I could sell that house for what I have in it as a lender.
I talked to a mortgage lender who lives and works here in our community, not somebody out of D.C., but I talked to somebody here, Susan, and get their take on the value of the land, the value of the planned home, and what they think it would be worth.
So that would be the mortgage lender you're sending me to.
Well, that's the person who really has to sit down and figure out,
right,
once it's done, once the home is built, what is the total property now worth?
It's their money at stake as well as yours, so they look at those things very carefully.
How about the Weldon Cooper Center? Would they have any information on that?
I can't speak for the Weldon Cooper Center. I doubt that they would get into that kind of analysis.
I don't think.
They look at population figures. They might be able to say, you know, we assume this county, this area is still going to grow at a certain rate, and that would help support continued stable housing prices. But, you know, there's so many variables, so many factors in the market that, again, I'd be careful of anybody who would tell you they could guarantee what real estate values would be out in the future.
Susan, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to line two. Matt is on the line. Matt, you're on with Jay Wheeler of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. Go right ahead.
Hello. I am actually a lender, so I could probably help you out with that question, Susan. The correct answer is an appraiser.
There you go.
An appraiser will look at what other houses that have closed, usually in the last 6 months, have sold. So, you know, oftentimes you'll see someone who's speculating on a project or someone who's about to list their house for sale, get an independent appraisal outside of the mortgage lender.
There you go. Of course, because the mortgage lender is going to ask an appraiser to actually go out and look at it. The mortgage lender wouldn't do that.
In almost every instance, there are cases where we don't need appraisals, but generally it is required.
Great. Matt, thank you very much for the call. Jay, with the time we have left, let me ask you this. There's a lot of folks, and they call here. You know, when Brian comes in on Tuesdays, they certainly call in and voice this concern. Folks who are concerned about the fact that we don't have the money for infrastructure. You know, a developer comes in, wants to build a new neighborhood, whether it's the sewers or the water or the sidewalks, where's all the money going to come from for the infrastructure, the roads? And a lot of folks are upset because they feel like taxes are going up, the water rates are going to increase, and that we're basically subsidizing development, that we're subsidizing and helping a developer make some money on a project.
First thing I think every developer would say is they are happy, they are willing to pay their fair share of those costs. The debate comes to what's a fair share. As the community grows, current infrastructure wears out. Every time a car, a truck, something goes down a road, it causes some wear that's going to need to be repaired at some place. We currently have a lot of local news about water lines that have been in the ground for 50 or 60 or 80 or 90 years. I come from Washington, D.C., where they still have wooden water lines in the ground.
They do in Richmond as well,
over Georgetown. You know, prudent governments, prudent organizations, prudent homeowners think ahead about, I have this thing, whatever it may be, what's it going to cost in the future to replace it? What's it going to cost in the future to repair it? We know those things are inevitable. So some of those things are not really a function of growth. They're a function of wear and tear. They're a function of time. They're a function of weather. And what's the community responsibility to maintain, to repair, to upgrade those things? If it's the Meadow Creek Interceptor that was built in the 50s and paid off for, you know, with a 20-year bond, so since 1970, that's been a free piece of infrastructure. And we should thank somebody for building a pipe that had 60 years of additional capacity before it got full. Is that the responsibility of the next person to want to add something to the system to replace that entire line? Or is that a general community responsibility? Historically, we've always had the community pay for infrastructure piece by piece over time through our property taxes. We all enjoy schools and roads and other things that we never paid a penny for because they were there when we moved here or when we were born, something, when we started using them.
You know, and along those same lines, Charlottesville is the best place to live in America, not just because of the mountains and the woods and the rivers, but because of all the developers and the tradespeople and the people who have worked over the last few decades to create these beautiful neighborhoods that we can choose to live in.
Absolutely. And so now we have some responsibility to maintain them, to anticipate future growth, future needs, and to think forward for that. Again, the developers, the builders are happy to pay their fair share. They understand that process. The question is, what constitutes fair? How do we define that?
And that is a conversation this community continues to have. Jay Willer is the Executive Vice President of the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. And will you join us again, please?
I would love to.
Terrific. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SeaVillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SeavillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.